Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hotspots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Hello. Welcome to Hotspots. So glad you are here. I'm recording today from our Vecula Desert location in Riverside County, California. In this podcast, I'll be chatting with Michael Tubbs, one of California's leaders and rising stars, about some of the challenges in front of us, which are quite significant, as I'm sure you are aware of you following the news. We'll also be chatting about the Election Rigging Response Act, Proposition 50, and how important it is that everybody take part in that special election that's underway. My guest, Michael Tubbs, is the special advisor to California Governor Gavin Newsom for economic mobility. He's the founder of Mayors for a Guaranteed Income and the founder of End Poverty California. Welcome, Michael. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Kay.
Michael's journey began in South Stockton. His mother gave birth to him when she was 16 years old, and Michael's father has been incarcerated his entire life. Michael was raised by three forceful women, his mother, aunt, and grandmother. And despite the odds, his family and faith community helped him get values of resilience and service that paved a path from poverty to the classrooms at Stanford. He ran for political office when he was still a senior at Stanford, successfully campaigning for council member for the city of Stockton, District 6, when he was just 21 years old. In 2016, he was elected mayor of Stockton at the age of 26. He was the city's first African-American mayor, the youngest mayor of any major American city in American history. And as mayor, he was lauded for his leadership and innovation, raising more than $20 million to create Stockton Scholars, a universal scholarship and mentorship program for Stockton students. And additionally, he piloted the first mayor-led guaranteed income pilot in the country. Michael, send me some information about why he wants to be lieutenant governor of California, and he has a quite stirring vision. I'll just repeat a little bit of it right now. He wants to build a future that shows how government can work for everyone, that leads to a nation that's not just talking about problems, that's actually solving them. It's a future of work education, whether vocational programs or college, is accessible to all without crippling debt, a future with enough affordable housing so everybody has a place to live and can afford it, and a place where we leverage guaranteed basic income programs to end poverty and prevent homelessness. I love your vision, Michael.
Thank you.
Tell me more about guaranteed basic income and how it can help address income inequality.
Well, appreciate the question, and thank you so much for having me. So as mentioned, when I was mayor of Stockton, we had the first guaranteed income pilot led by a mayor in this country's history. I now lead a group called Mayors for a Guaranteed Income, where we're working with over 300 elected officials. We're doing the same things. And essentially, guaranteed income is a notion as old as this country. Thomas Paine talked about this in the Agrarian Revolution. Dr. King, even Richard Nixon. And the idea is that in a country so rich, we at least allow for a floor so that no one falls beneath the floor, so that we don't have poverty, so we don't have lack, but we don't have just the human indignity, but also the amount in taxpayer expenditures we have to spend to compensate for folks having lack, whether it's in ER visits or in prison cells or in the proliferation of services, et cetera. So we did that in Stockton. We're doing it nationwide. And part of the goal for running for lieutenant governor is to bring that to scale and in the state, as either to start with, we could do it for foster youth, for every foster youth aging out the system, which also has an impact on homelessness, because we know that 50% of all homeless individuals were foster youth. So a guaranteed income would help them not get into homelessness, because once it's in homelessness, it's hard to exit out. Or as a way to prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place, as we know that evictions, and that the average cost of an eviction is $325, which costs someone not just, but their house, their credit reports, their ability to rent in the future, and leads to cascading impacts that also lead to some of the poverty issues we see in the state.
So where do we get the funds to pay for this? It sounds expensive. I kind of think of it like Social Security for everyone, but of course, Social Security is a completely different program that people have paid into over time. But guaranteed income for everyone, a floor, so that everybody has enough to at least subsist and not be in poverty. Can we reshift our budget around to cover those costs? And you actually run numbers, like if we were to reduce the military budget or the ICE budget or the tax breaks for billionaires, if we were to add up all of those savings, could we afford guaranteed income for all individuals in the United States?
We appreciate the question. And what's interesting about the federal government, and we've seen it with the ICE budget and the military budget, et cetera, the federal government could deficit spend on things they view as investments. So like the state government, the federal government could spend money as an investment without having to even figure out how to pay for it. Not saying that's the right thing to do, but saying that's an option the federal government has and has done for all the draconian things we've seen over the past 12 months. But as, in terms of guaranteed income, what we know is that we reversed the 2017 Trump tax cuts that gave money to the richest among us. That would be enough to pay for every family making $75K or below in this country to receive $500 a month at $2 trillion. So there's mechanisms to pay for it through repeal of those tax cuts, repeal of the ridiculous explosion in the ICE budget, not to mention the ridiculous amount we spend on military defense as a country. And then we also could talk about federal marijuana legalization. We could talk about sort of a data dividend in terms of leveraging the wealth that's being created from all of our data and LLMs, AI, and other tech companies. So there's a bunch of mechanisms as to how to pay for it as a country. The question is marshaling the political will to do so.
Do you see the political will growing to do so?
I see it growing at the local level, and I think at the state level, which is why I'm excited as Lieutenant Governor to work with Senator Cortese, for example, as I have been, to get his SORAC through the state legislature. And what that is, it will provide a guaranteed income for every foster youth aging out of the system in California, which isn't everybody for sure, but it's a huge first step. And it's also a way to get us closer to that goal. Or a couple of years ago, I worked with Senator Nancy Skinner on her bill, providing guaranteed income to pregnant mothers and mothers who just had babies, ensuring that they have what they need the first 2-3 years of a child's life to be successful. So I think in California, we can piecemeal it in that way. And we've seen that in the other states we're working with, in New Mexico, for example, or Massachusetts, or Washington and other states where folks are introducing legislation to provide guaranteed income for moms like they have in Flint, Michigan, or a guaranteed income for foster youth that is being proposed in California, but also New Mexico and Massachusetts.
Thinking for a moment about the big picture of where the resistance movement is and the serious and overwhelming challenges that we're now confronting from Trump's lawlessness and cruelty and corruption and all things that are unfolding around us. What do you think makes sense for us to be focusing on now? How can we best confront the situation and engage more people to the bar?
We have to begin with the most immediate thing, which is Prop 50, which is on the ballot in the next month. which will send a message not just to Donald Trump, but to the entire Republican Party, that we're not just going to stand by and stand back and let him run over all the things we hold sacred, like our democracy, like our ability for free speech, like our right to due process. And then this goes on and on and on. I mean, Prop 50 is such an integral tool as a prelude to the 26th Congressional. So I really think we have this month and next year to really save our democracy, not being alarmist, just being very sober and objective, to save our democracy and to send a message that no, we don't like mass deportations and kidnapping of people, much less the additional kidnapping of American citizens, much less robbing folks of their future of Social Security and benefits like healthcare. Like that's it's a bridge too far. So yeah, everyone needs to get involved with Prop 50. Voting is the least you can do. Bringing two or three other people to vote with you is also important to really send the message and give us a fighting chance to take back the House in 2026. And then in 2026, in California, we all have to become part-time residents of all the swing districts in California who are going to determine who controls the House for the second half of this terrible Trump term. And that's going to require all of us phone banking, donating, canvassing, doing what we can to make sure that we're fighting for our democracy and knowing that the road to democracy is through California, through Prop 50 and through the swing districts in 26.
We need that check on Trump. We need to take control of the U.S. House and hopefully the Senate as well in the 2026 election and then go on to have another big change in 2028. But from what I've read and understood, a lot of people who are just overwhelmed by everything that kind of turned out on the news cycle and may not really be sure what far it's all about and why we're doing it. So could you just explain a little bit about what this proposition does and why it's necessary right now for us?
So Prop 50 is a smart and needed response to, again, Donald Trump seeking to rig the game like he's trying to rig the economy in his favor. So essentially, Donald Trump realized that driving up the cost of everything, that he was going to lose the midterms. So he called some of his Republican governors and said, hey, I need you to find more seats. And the way seats are found in our country is that they're drawn through congressional redistricting processes, which usually happen once. So the seats have already been found. Like, that happened already. It's a process that happened. Trump's saying, I don't care about the process. Do another process 1 year before the midterms and find new seats that will guarantee Republicans win. So if I lose seats, the net stays the same and we can keep control of the House, continue to rob the country of its riches and to rob us all of a future. So in California, we said, hey, if the rules are changing mid-game, it makes no sense to play by rules our opponents aren't playing by. You lose by definition. That we have to also play by these new rules. And essentially what we're doing in California is saying in Texas, the legislature just did it without a vote of the people, without input of the people. That's why those legislators left Texas and were like in New York and in Illinois, because what was happening in Texas was so undemocratic. But in California, new maps have been drawn, but the people still have to decide. The legislature just couldn't say this is what we're doing. Like the citizens, you and I, we have to vote and say, yes, we approve this common sense change to our maps to allow us again to have a fighting chance, provide a check on Donald Trump, to also give us the opportunity to make sure that our will and our aspirations are expressed in the federal policy of the United States, particularly because we're a donor state. We give more money to the federal government than we get. We are the fourth largest economy in the world. We are the engine that keeps America running. And this federal government is so opposite of our values, so opposite of our beliefs, so opposite of our aspirations. And this Prop 50 gives us a chance to continue to have a voice into the future of this country.
And with bail-in ballot, it's easy to vote from home at your convenience. And the election officials are encouraging everyone to vote early. Don't wait until the last moment to mail in your ballot, because as we record this podcast, things may not move as smoothly as they normally would. So vote early and then mail ballot and mark it and send it in. Michael, do you know a website where people can get voting information, where to find drop boxes, where they can show up on election day and vote if they have not already mailed in their ballot?
People can go to the Secretary of State website, for California. It's sos.ca.gov. And that has all that information for folks.
Okay. So if you're not a regular voter, this is the time to get engaged and make your voice and your vote count, because it's so crucial, not just for the state of California, but for the entire nation, that we put a check on the lawlessness of our current leader. And the current Congress needs to turn over. We need to pick up some seats. And it's going to be a long and not easy road to 2026. But that's the next point of focus once we get Prop 50 adopted here in California at the election that's coming up in early November. Well, in summary, how would you like to frame your call to action to people at this crucial moment in our nation's history?
Pessimism is a luxury. Defeatism serves no great purpose. Fear should not be debilitating, but should be a cause for action to spur us to do something. And we have the ability to actually fight back, to push back, to make change, to vote, et cetera, on Prop 50 and other things, because people before us pushed and fought in much more difficult times with much higher stakes and summoned the courage and the belief that tomorrow could be better. So we all, at the very least, have to vote yes on 50, bring two people more to vote with us, and then get ready to work in 26 to elect good folks in California for the constitutional offices. I'm running for lieutenant governor, for the swing districts that we know will be targeted by both Democrats and Republicans, because the road to the House, the road to the White House, and the road to democracy, I truly believe, runs through California. But we all need to do our part. And the first part is to vote in the next 30 days on Prop 50.
We also have coming up on October 18th, the No Teens Day rallies around the country. And that's another opportunity for people to show up, stand up, be heard, stand with your neighbor, which there are millions of us who share the feelings of despair and outrage that we've all been experiencing or watching the debacle unfold. So if you can, make it a point to show up at a local event or in our No Kings Day, October 18, which Trump may not care, but his enablers do. And we need to be loud and strong and united and letting these folks know that the path we're on is unacceptable and that we intend to right the ship of state at the earliest opportunities with these acts. The biggest tool or the toolbox we have is to vote. So, of course, that's crucial. And I really appreciate Michael being here today and sharing his leadership and vision. And thank you so much for getting involved and your willingness to step forward in these times and make a contribution. Really appreciate having you here today.
Well, thank you for your leadership and for the work you've done in the whole Riverside Democratic County Democratic Party is doing. Thank you all.
You're welcome, Michael. And I hope you'll join us again soon for Hot Spots with Kay Brown on United America Network. Getting out of this mess takes a movement. We're working to build a movement through awareness that leads to action, and we hope you'll join that movement with us on United America Network. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
You've been listening to Hot Spots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hot Spots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from unitedamericanetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire, on United America Network.